I hope in our hearts we could feel the closeness of God that He certainly gave to the shepherds and to all the people at the birth of Jesus, the individuals who were impacted, the whole world that is impacted as we see the news, good news of great joy for all the people. And He certainly shows His love for the shepherds at Jesus' birth. What the shepherds are doing, they're simply watching over their flocks at night. They're homeless, you might say. They're living out in the fields. So they were on the rough edge of society, probably had a rougher night than you and I had last night. I don't think any of us did the tent outside thing. But that was their calling. That was their work. And God takes action on their behalf. Interesting, they don't show that they are praying. Apparently not praying, watching over their flocks. And certainly not in a worship service like we are today. Not reading the Bible, didn't have a Bible, probably couldn't read. Okay, there they are, the shepherds. And God takes action. And He allows the shepherds to get in on it. So God sends an angel to the shepherds. God sends His glory to shine around the shepherds. God speaks to the shepherds through the angel, saying, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And then God sends a whole multitude of angels. So He's really working up a storm, you might say, a good storm on behalf of the earth and these shepherds. And the multitude of angels say, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, that is the whole earth, peace and goodwill to men. I like the old King James, goodwill to men, at that point. The goodwill to men means God's unmerited favor. Favor comes out in some of the translations on everybody. Okay? God's unmerited favor on everybody, available to everyone. Ties in with the phrase, to all the people. Okay? To all the people. So very seldom in the world does anything happen that's for all the people. Sometimes just for a few, you know. But this news was to peace on earth and goodwill to men. Good news of great joy to all the people. And it's important for us to see, again, the shepherds didn't do anything for this. They didn't do anything. No prayer vigils. No secret handshakes, no good works, no merit, no New Year's Eve promises, okay? No deeper insights to the things of God. They were just people in need, perhaps like you and I. And all they did was be afraid and be terrified, be sore afraid. And at Christmas time, maybe one of the healthiest things we could do in response to Jesus and what He does in our own souls and what He does in the world is to be sore afraid. To be afraid, to say, oh my, that God would do such a thing. You know, certainly get our attention, probably get our adrenaline going a little bit more than what we might have at the family gathering and so on. But God's saving work was beginning to be made known. And so the shepherd said, let's go. And what a great response. Let's go and see all that the Lord has told us about. So they find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning the child. The shepherd's response to Jesus really gets to me. It seems like a very natural, spontaneous act of faith. They spread the word concerning the child. And it's wonderful and it's understandable. And God gave them at this point no commandment to do so. He didn't say, get out there and, you know, tell your friends and neighbors about what you see here. There was no great commission at this point. They had no evangelism training. Okay, just, you might say, new believers. You know, I feel new in my trust in God. And as soon as they saw the child, they spread the word concerning this. And You know, they didn't even say, I wonder if this is my spiritual gift to tell others about the Lord. I'm more on the quiet side of things and so on, which would be understandable. That's where I am. But they spread the word concerning the child. They just did what was in their soul to do. They did what was in their soul to do. And the shepherds could have sung this song. This is a modern song. I know one thing's true. I don't even deserve to know you, Jesus. I'm a witness that you did this, and I'm brand new. So I'm ready to go. I'll tell the world what they need to know. Christ came, and he rescued me. Okay, good news that the shepherds would certainly give testimony to. That was who they were. And the shepherds lived out of these motives, you might say, out of these motivations. And the convincing that they had came from the Lord. Yeah, I don't think it was Augustine who said this. I was thinking of another quote, and so this is really from one of the founding fathers. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. In other words, if the shepherds really didn't want to spread the word or really didn't want to go and see Christ, they wouldn't have done it. If somebody dragged them there, it would have done them no good to be dragged there. You know, they were not convinced against their will, or they'd be of the same opinion still, not really believing. They just went, and God had won them over. And really, their attitude was more like this: a man convinced, by will set free. They saw Christ. Their will was set free. Does spread God's word with love, gladly. And he must have done it in a loving, glad way, because the Bible says the people in the town were amazed at what they said. And shepherds weren't known for their trustworthy information, but this was good news that people couldn't. They had to say, well, this is an amazing thing. And so, like God uses the shepherds, he uses you and I when we say, I, by the grace of God, have met the Lord. You know, I've put my trust in him in a very practical manner. The quote came about, loving people during the week fills the empty church seat. Now, the shepherds didn't have a church, you know, but they certainly would have gone into the town and said, this is what we find about Jesus. And if they did go to a church seat, they probably said, well, come with me and let's worship this Christ, this Messiah. And so it's a good motivation for us, and something we ask God to work in our lives about. As I look at my pew over here, you'll notice it's empty. So I can love more people during the week to fill the empty church seat there. Certainly something the Lord would bring about in our relationship with him. It's a high calling that we get to spread the word like the shepherds get to spread the word. It's a get-to opportunity. It's a want-to opportunity. Charles Spurgeon got this quote from old Doug Coleman. I would rather lead one sinner to Jesus, like the shepherds were trying to do. I would rather lead one sinner to Jesus than unpack all the mysteries of God's word. Now, that's something. Because when Jesus came, you know, he didn't come just to say, let me explain to you just the details of certain passages in the Bible. He came to give his life, to rise from the dead, so we might know him. And, of course, would be a great teacher before and after his resurrection. But the wonderful calling we have, like the shepherds, to spread the word. People did this almost as naturally, supernaturally, you might say, as the shepherds. Mary, when she heard the news, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So she sensed that she needed God to save her. Mary's a great model in the Bible. Wise men, they sought him out. We have come to worship him. That's what their response was when they came to the child. Andrew, quieter disciple, but he said to his brother Peter, we have found the Messiah. Again, spreading the word. John was more thorough, you might say, in his praises to God. More words, more details. We have seen his glory, talking about Jesus. And that's something you and I do as we live, you know. It's a reflection of God's glory. God's glory is reflected in us more and more, God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Roman soldier, the roughest among us, their immediate response to Jesus would be, surely this man was the Son of God. And Peter, great preacher, eventually, God raised this Jesus to life. He's telling people that in Acts chapter 2. Paul, you know, had a lot going for him, but he knew how much he needed Christ. Christ came to rescue sinners, and he counted himself in that boat. So just a prolific move by God to spread the word. God was spreading the word, so his people began spreading the word. And this was something from a heart set free that people did. They met Jesus. They were sent by Jesus, just like Jesus was sent by the Father. As Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So I send you. And the Bible tells us when we meet Christ, the spreading of the word happens in our own soul. I think God works in our lives the same way he works in the shepherds' lives. Good news of great joy for all the people has come to you. The Savior has been born. Christ the Lord, the Messiah the Lord. And one of the greatest promises Jesus ever made, I think, and you might look at it as a prophecy even, is Acts chapter 1, when he says this. He says, you shall be my witnesses. Now, we know from the whole Bible, when God says, this shall be, we can be sure this shall be. Okay, that's right. When God says, let there be light, there is light. When God says, you shall be, you better believe you shall be. Okay. And that's how God changes us from the inside out. And then, so you and I, we have the calling that the shepherds have. We found our lane to run in, to spread the word. And just some practical things that aid us in doing that. In our culture, you know, people appreciate honest, enthusiastic integrity from the heart, much like was been shared so far, and just greeting and song and so forth. But things we could do to spread the word even differently than the shepherds did. We have time beyond our immediate response to work with. We pray and say, God, send us into your world so that there might be experienced peace on earth through faith in Christ. Goodwill to men. God's unmerited favor being made known. And to pray, Jesus said, pray to God to send people like you and I. And Jesus said that when he looked at the crowds and had great compassion on them, for they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. And I think praying changes us. So we see people like God sees people. That's a great prayer to pray. The shepherd saw people like God saw people. The shepherds saw themselves like God saw them. And how does the Bible depict people without Christ or without salvation? Lost. It's a scary thing to be lost. Met a guy from Israel about a month ago, wandering around Valero on Arona Road. He's lost. I need to get to a certain place, and here I am on Arona Road in Valero. He had a funny accent. I said, where are you from? Europe? No, Israel. Oh, Israel, you know. I get extra friendly and so on. And so you should have saw the whole crowd in Valero trying to help this fellow. He was lost. People pull out their cell phones. They punch up the address he's trying to look for. I just say, look at these people. Follow them. They know what to do. So to be lost is rough. But God would come and seek us out to be blind. That's a condition of the world also. Do you have compassion on a blind person? I think you do. And so the world is blind without the Lord. The sick, those who are suffering because of sin or being separate from God. In prison and stuck in sin. That's a condition also of the world, or and even dead. If you have compassion on a person who's just their life, there's no life there. Would you have compassion on just their whole being at that point, you know, spiritually? See the world as God sees the world, without Christ, lost, blind, sick, in prison, and dead. And then going to people, especially in our culture, it helps if we listen to people, because it shows there's an interest of love toward them. God certainly listens to cry for help, so we can too. And I think in listening, what I listen for is I listen for emotions, because emotions usually lead to events, or they come out of different events that have happened. There's a lot of anger in our culture, so we listen to that anger, and we say that person is probably not just angry at what's going on. They may be angry at the Lord, maybe angry at themselves. Now, they wouldn't verbalize it that way, but that anger is just not because of events that are far, far away. Usually when I'm angry, it's here. You know, it's not even on the TV. It's here. And that's why. But to hear the anger and to know that God can take that anger on himself, and even he took the anger of himself on the cross. And then there's lack of emotion sometimes in our culture, and people seek out things to get themselves cranked up. But boredom is a sign of no direction. What a person, they're looking for direction. Jesus would be their way to live. He would tell them, he would go and prepare a place for them. So they have a journey. They're on a journey. Or doubt. Our world is full of doubt. Listen for that doubt. Doubt means I can't see it yet. Doubting Thomas. I'm a doubting Thomas still, I have to say, in regards to some of the more claimed supernatural manifestations of God in the present day. Okay? Miracle around the corner, miracle at the hospital, miracle at... I'm looking for that miracle. If you find one, you come and tell me, okay? And I don't mean the sun rising. That's, I appreciate that, and daily bread and all those things. But we do, the Lord still works with the doubting Thomas, right? Then there's grief in the world. Listen for the grief. The person in grief says, does God care? Is God with me? Okay, will he help me? And maybe your compassion for that person will be the answer to that. Or just plain rebellion. I don't want to hear about that. You know, just plain rebellion, which pretty much says, I can run things better than God. That's the essence of sinful rebellion. We're just saying, Lord, I do not trust you worth a hoot, so I'm taking things into my own hands. And it's always end tragically when we do that. And then to show love. I'm sure the shepherds were loving as they, you know, were changed by this news that the good news would be for all the people. Love was the universal language of the good news. Ranked higher than faith and hope in 1 Corinthians. Gives fuel to the truth of God. You know, the truth of God without love is pretty crushing. You just crush people with the law. But the love of God through Christ can fulfill the law. And one of the most loving things we could do is spread the word. When the house is on fire, you know, for your family or for the neighbor, the most loving thing you could do is to go where the fire is and say, this is the way to safety. This is the way to life. And this is what we do when we spread the word. Simply by, you know, being joyful like those shepherds, walking with God every day. Not so much a technique, but I think it's a soul expression. that God does through us. And then a great thing to do, of course, is to tell. To tell. The shepherds told. Okay, I'll tell, you know, that news. What Jesus did for you, that's a powerful testimony. I've heard people in their testimony simply say things like, when I'm anxious, Jesus helps me. That's a powerful testimony in today's world. I've heard Christians give a testimony, when I'm selfish in my family, Jesus makes me a more loving. Okay, spouse, parent, whatever the calling is, grandparent. A testimony, what Jesus is doing for me when I feel far from God, and when I sin, I know Jesus really wants to forgive me. And he promises that forgiveness. So that testimony, what Jesus did for you, and then what Jesus did for them. You know, Jesus did something for them already, for the person who's yet to hear. Hey, he was born to bring you good news of great joy. Get out, you know. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Good news of great joy. And he came to prepare a place for you, to take you to be with him. He loves you and wants you to be with him. So you tell what Jesus did for them. Gave his life in your place on the cross, dying for your sin. And then I think very simple, when I share more closely with the person, you know, and there's openness, can I show you one thing from the Bible I think will really help you? Kind of gives a summary of Jesus' mission. Not the perfect summary, but a summary. That God so loved the world, you just put that person's name in the verse, you know, talking to Joe. Joe, this is like, for God so loved Joe, he gave his son. If Joe would believe in Christ, trust him, to have faith is forsaking all, I trust him, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. You don't have to trust in yourself anymore, Joe. I don't trust you. You don't want to trust yourself. But forsaking all, I trust him. If you believe in him, you will not perish. You won't be apart from God, but you'll have eternal life. Just you're sharing your heart with a person, and how wonderful God is. So as his people, like those shepherds, and there they are again, okay, they're untrained, Bible content at a minimum. That's you guys. They're untrained. That's me. Bible content at a minimum. They spread the word concerning the Lord. And we could do that all the way to heaven. Good news of great joy. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for how you approached these shepherds. We're not sure why you did what you did for them. You could have just started working right in the town of Bethlehem and start spreading the word that way. But you started to spread the word through these folks who were, they were on the edge of life in every sense of the word. Spiritually, they were probably in fair darkness. When you came, they didn't say, well, that was a prophecy fulfilled. They probably didn't know too much about what you had promised. So thank you. You worked in and through them. Thank you. You work in and through each of your dear loved ones here today. And if there's any here today would say, well, I could start off like a shepherd. I need that good news of great joy. And I want to spread the word too. You'll do that through them, Lord. Give them assurance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.